The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The school chapel at St. Mark's College at Mpanza in Zambia is in the middle of the campus and pretty central to school life. The new school chaplain, some years ago, it was me by the way, was amazed and gratified to see the chapel full for all the services in Holy Week. But I was equally amazed and puzzled to find the chapel almost empty on Easter Day. What was wrong? Well, I discovered that it had to do with the experience of the local people there. For a long period in their history, they'd been oppressed by a neighboring and warlike tribe. They were a tribute people, and many of them had been forced into slavery. That slavery had ended quite recently, within living memory, and there was still a deep sadness among those people. They could identify very well with Jesus in his suffering and his death, but the resurrection was just one step too far. It didn't work for most of them. And that is how I think so many people right across the world are feeling this Eastertide. In a world of so much pain and suffering, for them, the resurrection is just a step too far. Perhaps that is why there are almost certainly 100 crucifixes for every picture of the resurrection. A poet once wrote, "Today we find Good Friday easy to accept. What scandalizes people is Easter. Modern men and women, people today, find a happy ending, a final victory of love over the prince of this world, very hard to swallow. Two terrible wars, the Holocaust, Stalin, Mao, 3 million dead from COVID, and now the terrible horrors of the Ukraine and Gaza." When the poet says, most people find a happy ending very hard to swallow, that must include most people here in Roxbourne and in my own parish in North Harrow. For many people who cannot believe in the resurrection, this is an impossible ending to a sad story. It's pretty clear that the earliest Christians thought it was the reversal of a terrible tragedy. Peter certainly believed that. Let's just listen to his first sermon in Acts. It was some time later that St. John recorded in his gospel Jesus' own words, "And I, if I be lifted up," he meant lifted up on the cross, "will draw all people to me." Our faith is based on the whole story, not just on Easter Day. God is a God who suffers with us. As a Scottish hymn says, we go through no darker rooms than Christ has gone before. But death did not have the last word. So thinking of how we can be witnesses to these things, to Jesus' resurrection, in the words of today's collect, how can we get knowledge of his presence with us? Well, three suggestions, and that was the first. Then secondly, to be honest about what we can prove and what we can't prove. That Jesus existed, of course, is beyond doubt. We can be certain of that because writers who had nothing to do with him and were not Christians knew about him and wrote about him. Jesus is a figure from history, not a figure from the imagination. There is also evidence from those same non-Christian writers that this wandering preacher and teacher died a painful death on a cross. His life and his death are solid facts of history. The resurrection, that's different. It can't ever be proved that the tomb was empty. We do know that no grave or memorial for a dead Jesus has ever been found. Rowan Williams, who was our Archbishop until quite recently, once said that if a Jesus tomb was ever found, he would have to stop being a Christian. The empty tomb is central to our faith, but it's not based on scientific evidence. That change in the disciples from a sense of complete failure and despair, all hope completely dashed, into the joyful pioneers who began to change the world. That was a true miracle. All of them, except John, died for their faith in the risen Christ. They were martyrs, and the word martyr in Greek means a witness. You are witnesses of these things, said Jesus, and they were. They could not prove scientifically that Jesus was raised from the dead, and nor can I prove in that way that my wife loves me. But they knew, and I know. You are witnesses of these things, said Jesus. He said it to the 12 that day. He's also saying it to you and I this morning. Where can we look for resurrection life? How can we find such knowledge of his presence with us that we're strengthened and sustained by that risen life? Martin Luther said that God has written the promise of the resurrection not in books, but in every leaf of springtime. And that does take us, doesn't it, as spring wonderfully returns again this year, some of the way, but by no means all of us. And I think of all those down the ages who've died for their faith. And we see today resurrection life in the wonderful sacrificial giving of so many people in these past years, by doctors, nurses, care workers, and maybe people near to you. And I think I've seen it where individuals have come to terms with past wrongs, sought forgiveness, and have made good past wrongs. And perhaps you've known it in your own life, as I think I have too. It's resurrection. I think we've seen resurrection too on a worldwide scale. The German nation were guilty of a terrible past. Militaristic nationalism, the Nazis, war, hatred of the Jews, Holocaust. But in a quite remarkable and totally public way, Germany has admitted these terrible wrongs and sought forgiveness. And I think that is one remarkable sign of resurrection in today's world. Jesus makes himself known to us this morning in the breaking of the bread. The risen Lord is with us today as we celebrate the Eucharist together, and he empowers us to live Easter lives of love, justice, witness, and service. And that's perhaps the best proof of all that the resurrection is true. So, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Thomas Hardy, like so many, hovered between faith and doubt, and he wrote about hearing a thrush singing on a winter's evening. Listen to what he said. A voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead in full-hearted evensong of joy unlimited. An aged thrush, frail, gaunt and small, in blast-beruffled plume, has chosen thus to fling his soul upon the growing gloom. So little cause he had for caroling of such ecstatic sound was written on terrestrial things afar and nigh around, that I could think there trembled through his happy good-night air some blessed hope whereof he knew and I was unaware. Lord, we pray that you will give us such knowledge of your presence with us that our lives are witnesses to your resurrection, a blessed hope for those longing, doubting, still unaware. Amen.
At the end of each section, I will conclude with the words, "You are risen." Would you please respond, "We are risen, alleluia." Risen Lord Jesus, you were an early riser that first Easter morning. You needed no alarm to raise you from your three-day slumber. The engines of creation went into reverse and you rose, scattering to the winds the remnants of death. Raise us, we pray, from the slumber of our too easy faith and put us to work in the garden of your new creation. You are risen.
Risen indeed.
Risen Lord Jesus, you caught the world by surprise when you broke the steel cords of death. Help us to believe that all things are possible, that nations can make peace, that men and women can love their enemies, that justice can prevail, and the meek can inherit the earth. Make us part of the revolution that your resurrection began, especially as we pray for peace and goodwill throughout the 30 to 50 places in the world where there is conflict, but especially between the Ukraine and Russia, between Israel and Gaza, and in the wider Near East, in Burma, in Western China, for Hong Kong, as well as Central America. You are risen.
We are risen. Hallelujah.
Risen, Lord Jesus, you have given us thousands of mornings, but none like that Easter morning. Give us eyes to see the outline of the new world that your disciples began to see that day. Help us to see all of life in the light that streams from the empty tomb. Help us to hear the captive song of freedom and to taste the sweetness of release as eyes are opened and lives are made whole. We pray for any we know who are trapped in difficult situations and long for a way out of the tomb in which they feel imprisoned. For those bound into drug or gambling addiction or depression, crime, physical or sexual abuse, the treadmill of burdensome or exploitative employment, of debt or fear. We commend especially those listed in our weekly bulletin for whom we have been asked to pray. For the King, for Catherine, Princess of Wales, Sue Baker, Phil Brown, Susan and Richard Bealby, for Sally Conway, Lawrence Covell, Eve Doyle, Jean Murch, Jean Neath, for Sue Nichols, for Joyce Nicolay, Pam Story, Amy Williams, and Angela Zadurian. You are risen.
Hallelujah.
Risen Lord Jesus, you met your special friends at precisely their point of need. Mary Magdalene, for Thomas, the two walking to Emmaus, to Peter at the lakeside, and to each you brought hope and the promise of life in abundance. Meet us, your church, in the same way, with hope and abundant life, so that we can bask in the light of your resurrection and reflect that light into a muddled world. We pray for our spiritual leaders, for our bishops that they may show moral leadership and pastoral care, for all clergy that they may bear true witness to faith and love, and especially to Lyndon and Barbara, our youth group and Sunday school leaders, David, our pastoral assistant, and for the ministry team at St. Albans North Harrow. We pray too for all members of your Church Universal, for ourselves that we may be strengthened and confident in our pilgrimage through this life, and giving thanks for the lives of Margaret Yates, for Simeon Hinton and Ted Smith, whose anniversaries fall at this time, and who have passed from this life. Rest eternal grant them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. You are risen. Risen, Lord Jesus, may this Easter story echo afresh around the world and bring millions to wonder and to weep with joy at the entrance of the empty tomb. You are risen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.